Willkommen bei PIO, dem Podcast des International Office der Universität Siegen. Schön, dass ihr wieder eingeschaltet habt. Mein Name ist Alicia Platt und ich freue mich, euch heute meinen Gast vorstellen zu dürfen. Er hat nicht nur schon in den USA, Brasilien und Portugal gelebt, sondern absolviert jetzt gerade auch seinen zweiten Erasmus-Austausch hier an der Universität Siegen. Ich freue mich, Seferit van Ünlü bei mir begrüßen zu dürfen. Er studiert Sozialwissenschaften und wird uns von seinen Erfahrungen als Erasmus-Student berichten und davon, was es heißt, die sogenannte Wanderlust zu haben. Und damit viel Spaß bei der heutigen Folge. English Version. Hello and welcome to PIO, the podcast of the International Office of the University of Siegen. My name is Alicia Platz, and I'm pleased to introduce my guest to you today. He has not only lived in the US, Brazil, and Portugal, but is also completing his second Erasmus exchange here at the University of Siegen. I'm happy to welcome Seferit van Ünlü to this episode. He's studying social sciences and will tell us about his experiences as an Erasmus student and what it means to have the so-called Wanderlust. Be excited and have fun with today's episode. Okay. Hi, Sefa. It's so nice to have you here today with me.
Hi. How are you?
I am feeling good. The sun is shining. It's a great day. How are you feeling?
Also really blessed having a sun in the morning of Siegen. It feels great.
Great. Nice. So since it's the month of Erasmus in the International Office, I'm so happy to have you here on my podcast. Maybe we start with you. So do you want to tell our listeners what your story is? So where are you from and what brought you to Siegen? What is your life story?
Yes, to start with, I would like to say thank you for considering me to be a part of this amazing podcast. I'm just a person who kind of had a time and chance to travel a bit. And this is my, at the moment, I think it's my fourth exchange.
Your fourth?
Yes, it is. Wow. I'm still counting. I'm really addicted to it, I would say.
Okay.
I'm 23, by the way. I was born in Ankara, in Turkey, the capital of Turkey. I lived there for until I was 18, and I was burning with just traveling and seeing the world. I remember as a child seeing all these documentaries about everywhere. I was just ambitious, so ambitious to be part of it. But I mean, the luck was not there at the time. But I'm glad it did when I was 18.
And what was the first country you visited?
As a tourist, it was Greece. Uh-huh. But for living for a long time, it was my beautiful, I can say now, my home country, Brazil. It was Brazil.
Oh, nice. And
it was 1 year of experience. I had a chance to travel to Argentina, also to Paraguay. But the most lovely part was I had a chance to see everywhere in Brazil. Uh-huh. I went there with a Rotary exchange, Rotary International. So I was a student ambassador helping the poor neighborhoods as well as participating in cultural events. It was a lovely time there.
Oh, I believe you. And then after Brazil, did you go back to Turkey or where did you go?
Yeah, after Brazil, every time it was like coming back and going again, coming back and going back again. And second, I came back and then I applied for my first Erasmus. The time I was accepted, I was already in the US. I was traveling and working in the United States in California. Oh. I was there for a summer holiday. And then I learned when I was in US that I got accepted for a scholarship to study in Portugal. So I felt pretty international. And then I came back again, studied one semester here in my, not here, but here in Turkey. Mm-hmm. And then I had a chance to travel to Portugal for one semester, spring 2019.
Was that already an Erasmus exchange?
It was. It was okay. An Erasmus exchange as well. It was my first Erasmus.
Okay, so that means you are in your second Erasmus exchange,
right? It is
my
second Erasmus, yes.
Okay, cool.
I feel a little bit experienced about Erasmus.
And do you want to tell our listeners what you're studying?
I am studying political science and international relations at the moment. I'm a bachelor's student. Mm-hmm. I will be finishing hopefully this semester. Fingers crossed, applying for master's this semester as well.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Okay, so it seems like that you have already seen a lot of the world and experienced a lot. And you've lived in California, you've lived in Brazil, in Portugal, and now you've come to Siegen. So how does that feel? And I mean, and how long have you been here?
So I have been here since the 1st of March. So it's been quite some time. I was, well, Germany was not on my mind to start with, because in Turkey, we have a saying, Germany is like Turkey because there's so many Turkish people in it. But when you grow up and when you think about your academic career, and when you say, if I want to be something in the future, Germany is always the one of the best options out there because of how good the good education they have, and how free the education could be even for non-EU citizens like myself. So it's quite amazing that I could apply for programs here. And I thought applying for before the master's, coming here as an exchange student would make a huge difference in my applications as well. So I was searching for the partner universities.
Yeah.
I saw this name, Ziegen, and I was like, what's going on? What's up there?
Okay, so you've been here roughly 6-8 weeks, and you've probably seen a little bit about Ziegen, or you heard a little bit about it. I mean, during the pandemic, it's not really easy. We all know that. But what do you like most about the city? And when you came here, what was your first impression? What would you say?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things we have to talk, I think. The first one is, well, what is this thing with Germans and their privacy? What's going on there? It's crazy, I think. Because when I was searching for the city, it's just there's no pictures of it. It's just a Wikipedia like picture. And I bet if I zoom in, there are so many blurry places and blurry faces as well. But there was no Google Street View. There was no pictures on Google. And I was like, well, no one uses technology or what's going on.
Does that place even exist?
I had no idea what was going on. And then I started to just learn about information about Ziegen. And then I didn't put any expectations to the city because I knew it was a small city. And I lived in Istanbul for 10 years, which is a city of almost 20 million people. So yeah, it's just outrageous. So if I go to small cities, I do not have any expectations. And I try to not to search. So when you put so little expectations, you eventually end up having these amazing experiences in these cities.
Yeah.
And that's the case for me, for Ziegen as well. I never thought like how the weather could be nice. I'm saying this because in my third week, it was 25 degrees and I was running with my friends with t-shirts. And a week later, I was in Freudenberg and in a really snowy weather. It was just gorgeous. And it was just 1 week of difference. And now it's coming warming again and amazing sunsets. And
yeah.
And I think we kind of forgot that I forgot that seeing sunset over the hills is just how gorgeous that is. It's just beautiful. And it just makes you realize Ziegen is actually a really nice place to study and stay for some time.
Yeah. Regarding the weather, that's typical April weather. You have sunshine and 25 degrees and the next week it snows again. And I can't wait to hear when you experience summer here because all the forests will be green and it will be so green here because it's basically Ziegen is in the middle of a forest. It's a pretty great.
It's gorgeous. I think it's going to be, I'm really happy like about summer coming up.
Yeah.
I'm a Mediterranean person, so I cannot wait.
Yeah. I can't wait for summer. Yeah. It's really time. Summer, hurry up now. Okay. So since this is your second Erasmus exchange, can you explain to our listeners how an Erasmus exchange works? Because maybe they don't know and they're thinking about doing one. So what is the process?
So basically, Erasmus is an exchange program. Erasmus actually at the person who was a Dutch traveler at his time, and they gave his name to the program for us to travel, I think, to think about traveling, to mobilize. And it's funded by the European Union, which is funded by the European Union. It's not just for students. It can be for master's students, PhD students, for academic staff as well. It's actually basically in its core, it's telling people to move. And for me, I was, thank God that I was a successful student. For 12 full months, I am having scholarship. So which means Erasmus actually gives scholarships to students. You can come live and do not ask money from your parents or you don't need to work. You can just study, relax, enjoy. This is basically what Erasmus is, to mobilize people.
Yeah, you can also, so you apply for an Erasmus exchange, right? At your uni that you're studying in. And you can also get it sponsored. You can get scholarships for it.
Yes, exactly. And you need to look for the universities which your home university make connections with, which is called partner universities. Even my university, they just had a connection with university in Korea. So it's just there's just so much connections everywhere. Yeah. So there's no need to worry of where to go, what to do.
And you have quite some experience in Erasmus now. What would you say, what is a major difference to your former Erasmus exchange? So you've been to Portugal and now you're in Siegen. What are the major differences so far?
I don't want to make any German listening to us jealous. I was also went to Portugal in my springtime and I was swimming and surfing at this at the moment. So it was just amazing. Oh, the ocean. Oh my goodness. It was
so amazing. Was the university like close to the ocean, or was it, where was it?
Portugal is actually a really small country. I was at the center of Portugal, but we were able to go to the surfing places next to our city by train for 45 minutes. So it was like, guys, even in the morning, guys, let's go. And then I'm like, let's go. Why not? It was just, we were there by 11. So it was like, why not? Portuguese, I remember going to Burger King with no customers in it and just waiting 45 minutes for my burger to come. And in here, it's just, everything is just right in the right place where it should be. I would say that's one of the biggest differences. And I kind of feel people can get angry here if you're not punctual. If you're late in Portugal or in Spain, people are like, oh, you just came. They're becoming more happy. I don't know why this is happening. And the other major difference is, I would say, the education system, because of even though I'm physically here, I have to go through everything virtually on my computer, which I would say it's not bad. It gives maybe more options to us to study, but it's not, I don't think it's the right way to do.
Yeah, it would all be different if we hadn't have this pandemic at the moment, because of course you would be at the uni and would study in presence. Yeah, so I know that's a bummer, but yeah, let's cross fingers that it's gonna be normal again soon. And another question, since you have so much experience in Erasmus, maybe you get asked from people or fellow students, so would you recommend an Erasmus? What are the pros and cons? What do you tell them?
I'm just going to answer this question before I came back to one of the major differences to my former Erasmus as well.
Yeah.
It's a similarity that I was planning to say. It's this, I had no idea how uphill Siegen is. And I really thought I could ride a bicycle. I just had to say this. I am so sorry. But, you know, when we see Germany, it's just so much bikes everywhere. People going to work, school with bikes, just traveling. And yeah, it's just, I would say, I think they should change their minds of how they see the world. And I think the easiest way to do that is physically moving your head from one place to another.
Yeah.
So you would realize when you talk with people, there are other lives going on. There are other realities happening. It's not just the things that you watch on TV in your home country, or it's not just one reality. There is so many. It's just multi-universes happening at the same time in so many different cultures. And I think it's just so mind-blowing, and it's just frustrating to see how many stories, or people's stories out there. It's just crazy. And when you start to realize this, when I first realized it, I was in, I think, in the streets of Sao Paulo, and I saw a guy who was watching a Turkish TV series in Portuguese. And I was like, what is he thinking? He made me realize that there are people who are actually watching this soap operas from my country in Latin America, and they're watching it, they're arguing it, they're talking about more than the Turkish people does. And it makes you think that, like, okay, there is different lives going on. And then this is what made me addicted to exchanges, actually. And Erasmus is one of the best ones, as I have experienced before, because you have the freedom. You don't need to work. You don't need to do social work. Like, I mean, they're amazing things, of course. I'm not saying working for that, but being a student, I think, is one of the best things to do. And Erasmus gives you that option. Erasmus lets you be like, I would say, like a child. You just study, you just go to school, and then you just enjoy the rest of your time, which is, I don't think that I would have again in the future if I maybe when I retire, but I don't think that I would have the energy. Having this youth at age of 20, 21, 22, 23, and being able to travel for the best thing I would say you can do for yourself to gain more experience and learn about life, learn about people.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Learn about other cultures, and that there are other lives, as you said, different realities as well. And it can just broaden your horizon, as you say. What have you learned or gained during your exchanges? What is a thing that we will say, I will never forget that?
I would say, there's so many things to talk about, but I think it would be fair to start with family. when you realize you leave your family behind for a long time, you really realize how important they are. And at one point, they are becoming older. Eventually, I'm going to be the one to say, but they are going to die. It makes you realize when you're not seeing them physically over 4 months, a year, it makes you realize like how important the family is. How important it should be. It's one of the biggest things that I learned in a really early age, I would say, which is, I think, an amazing lesson to learn, to be honest with you. And after family, I would say you grow up, I think, you grow up way too fast. I mean, I remember talking to my friends. I'm not saying in a narcissistic way, if someone is listening to us and they say, if they ever been to exchange, they would know what I'm telling. But when I'm talking with my friends back at home, which I grow up with, my childhood friends or my high school friends, when we talk, they talk about what to do with their life, how they're going to get married I'm not saying marriage is bad or anything, what car to buy, what houses to choose, which neighborhood to move in. And at the same time, in my mind, I'm thinking about which beaches to go in Philippines and what to do in Indonesia and how to spend my time, which country I should travel to. That's what I think in the back of my brain. And then they're just clashing to each other. They're like, what's going on in these two realities? Like, which one I'm living in it? Am I in this one or that one? You are coming back and forward, even with when you talk with your family, even with my brother.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to change the furniture. And I'm like, why don't you save money so you could scuba dive in Egypt? Like, why would you not do that? Yeah, I cannot explain them what's going on going through my head. And I became this traveler also in my mind as well. And then that moment you realize I am 23 now and I have been traveling for the last 5 years nonstop. And you realize that this has become your life. When you see the other options and other reality where your friends are, you realize that this, no, I don't want that.
That's not me. I need to be somewhere else. And for example, with me, it's my family always tells me, you can always go on holiday. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not the same. It's not the same being in a country for 2 weeks and being in a resort or in a hotel. I want to experience the country, the culture. And you can only do that by living there for a certain amount of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think if you had the chance as well, learning the languages as well is teaching you a lot. And when I was in my third month or fourth month in Brazil, that we were playing card games. And I was playing the card game so anxious, like so excited. And I was speaking in Portuguese and playing the card game in Portuguese and screaming to them. And I remember at like 3 a.m. or something, I was standing on the table screaming like truco, truco, which means trick, trick in Portuguese. And it just makes you realize you're laughing to the things what other people had been experiencing for maybe centuries. And you're playing the same games with them and they're laughing at you. And then it's like, it's this amazing feeling, I would say, like you're feeling connected to the culture, which has been there for such a long time, which you cannot get as a tourist. You cannot get that if you live there for 2 days, 3 days.
Exactly. No,
it teaches you so much that you cannot get from just normal traveling.
Exactly. And I totally agree with you. I feel the same way. And also, I have to add this now, because since we're in that topic, the people you meet during your travels who are also traveling, I feel like they have the same mindset. They get you. It's not when you were talking about your brother or friends at home. Of course, you're still connected to them, but there's something that doesn't quite click anymore. They don't get you. And when you meet people during your travels who are doing basically the same, because they're also traveling and they're from other countries, they know exactly what you mean when you say, I love traveling, but I'm exhausted. You know, like, I mean, traveling is great. But when you travel for, like, I did backpacking through Australia. And yes, it was great. But of course, at some point, I was exhausted and I was sick of hostels. So I was like, it's great here, but I would like to have my own room. And they were like, I totally get you. That exactly. Like, you know, and people at home would say, well, but you wanted it. And I was like, yeah, I know. But see, and that's the thing, like people on your travels, they get you. All right. I'm so great to talk to you about traveling. It's really cool when you meet someone who also experienced that and has the same mindset. Great. Yeah, which brings me to another traveling topic and to our last question.
I love the podcast now. Let's go.
So So you've been in Germany for quite a while, but not too long. So what is on your bucket list for Germany or for Siegen? Can you tell our listeners?
I wanna scream for wo ist my fire up, yeah, but it's not gonna happen anytime soon. But yeah, I have many things to do for Germany. I would like to start with first Hamburg. I don't know when I can see it, but I just really want to see Hamburg.
And why Hamburg?
Because all of my friends, not just Germans, but most of my traveling friends are, they're like, Sefa, you have to go to Hamburg. Hamburg is the coolest. Hamburg is the best. Really cool place you have to see. Everyone is, I don't know, really hyped about it.
Mm-hmm.
I put so much expectations to it. Maybe that's why. Other than that, I really want to travel to every city in North Rhine-Westphalia. Yeah, see like Köln, Bonn. I already had a chance to see Bonn. Other than that, learning German. I really want to learn German because I think it's not just because I need it, because I really want to. Because as I told you, I want to go deeper into German culture and laugh with the people in their own language. It's just the way it should be, I think. Exactly. I don't want to be, if I'm ever to live here longer than I'm expected, I don't want to be end up just speaking English like a stranger.
Yes. And are you learning German at the moment, or how are you learning German right now?
Yes, I have taken German, fast German courses, but it was, okay, I shouldn't say this, but it was lovely classes. I learned so much. My professors were amazing, but it was just a really fast, you know, it was like fast track learning.
Yeah.
I'm taking more courses at the moment. And I'm also going to start this Friday on my in ECTC level, like credit level German language learning for one semester. So again, fingers crossed about German language. I think it's going to be the toughest one after Portuguese, but let's see.
Yeah, I have to say Turkish for me is the toughest one. I took a class in my studies as well, and my brain is cannot get the concept of Turkish grammar. It's just,
I cannot get it as well. I was the worst student when I was in Turkey taking Turkish language courses. But I kind of understand it's not that difficult. It's just so different because the family language is actually one of the closest language to Turkish. As I know, it's just Korean or something like that. It's just this further Asian countries. They're like basically the same grammatically. So it's just so hard for you guys to. No worries. No pressure. I'm not
going to. No, after one semester, I gave up and I said, I really like the language. I think it's beautiful. But you know what? It's so hard for me. I have to put so much effort in for that, and it's not my main course, it's not my major, so I'm sorry, I have to quit. Sefa, that has been great. Thank you so much for sharing your experience. It was really lovely, and I think you gave me and also our listeners a good look into Erasmus exchange and what it means to come to another country to study here, and yeah, what traveling and living in another country actually means. Do you want, or do you have anything else to tell our listeners?
Yes, I really want to add to this. We're talking, it's just the traveling and exchanges are this amazing, the best thing that can ever happen to you. But it's not the case. It's not the reality always. There are always, always bad days. There are always terrible, the worst days I have ever lived in my life were in my exchanges. And people, when they listen to us, they're going to think, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. But it might not be the case for you. But in the end, it's just what you make out of your exchange. It's what you make out of your life, to be honest, to start with. And people should not be just move someplace and expect magical things to happen. You should be always the one who says yes. You should be always the one who says, let's go. And yeah, if my friends ever listen to me, they know how many times I said, let's go to them. I'm just crazy saying let's go all the time. And you should not feel tired ever. You should just do everything you can experience at fullest. Then you can remember the good things that happened to you. I'm not saying if you say let's go to everything, you still won't get the best things out of it. Most of the time you will be sitting, doing nothing, stressing, getting anxious, being alone in your room probably. This is what reality is, and people don't know if they've never been to it, but it's just what you make out of it. Since when I look back and to my Erasmus or my other exchanges, I remember the good things because our minds are designed for that.
Yeah.
But there are always, always bad days. I'm not trying to scare them or scare you, whoever listening, but in the future, hopefully you will make the best out of it, your exchange, and you would actually grow up with the sad and bad things happened, because you choose to see the beauty in it. And I'm thankful for having me here. I'm thank you so much for having me here, really.
It was no problem. And I couldn't agree more with the last words you said. It's so true. Thank you, Seyfa, and I will talk to you soon. Have a good day.
Bye.